Welcome to Cloud of Witnesses.
Thinking like the Saints.
We are super excited, you guys. We have yet another episode. We just finished recording the first part of St. Andrew, the First Called.
Yeah.
And we're now moving into with our voice actors, who, as you guys know, have greatly and generously volunteered their time. Nick, this was quite an episode. We're excited to jump into this discussion.
Yeah.
You want to get us going?
Man, It was very interesting because this was the first episode that we did that was actually from the gospel, from the Bible. So that was definitely a new dynamic. There was, it seemed like there was a certain level of responsibility to convey the message without distorting that message either.
Right. Right.
More so than maybe other accounts of saints.
For sure.
Exactly
for sure.
Right. And to that point, we should probably be responsible and let everyone introduce themselves really quick. Just let us know your first name.
John.
Joshua.
Dominic.
Tamlin.
Lorinda.
Camille.
Oh.
Sorry.
I'm Camille. You are?
Anastasia.
Excellent.
Simeon.
You got Jeremy back here in the corner.
George.
Here's
up. Excellent. So you guys, what was it like... taking, as Nick said, literally a story straight from the pages of the gospel. You know, John, I think maybe starting with you, you portrayed John the Baptist. Not an easy thing. What was it like? What was your experience?
Same as any other saint that I've portrayed. It's all about accuracy for me. It's all about not just the tone, but the attitude you put on. It's like putting on someone else's clothes and someone else's life. Like a set of clothes that you just put on, but it's more than that. I mean, I learn in a small way how to speak as they speak, respond as they respond, and live as they live as the story goes on.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, this was probably the biggest shoes that I ever had to fill.
Mm-hmm.
Since the Saint Ephrem episode.
Mm, yeah.
What does Christ say about John the Baptist? There's no man greater
going
on this earth.
Yeah.
It was a really amazing scene to see that where he's preaching to the people in the wilderness and baptizing them. It can easily, you know, when you're reading the Bible, it can be easy to fall into the trap of, oh, and then this happened. Oh, and then he's preaching. And then he calls them broods of vipers, you know, and the Sadducees got mad. It's like, well, what did this really look like, you know? And to see that scene and other scenes come to life it's very enlightening and sometimes sobering, and there's just so many emotions to feel whenever certain scenes like this comes to life. I could imagine, you know, like almost a riot is starting, you know, within these Jewish people and the leaders and the people, and they're clashing. It was amazing.
Yeah.
And speaking of emotions, playing Andrew and getting into the character, getting my mind in there, it actually resonated with me with some things in my life, because I've always been searching for truth and thought I found the truth a few times. And so when Peter is sort of ridiculing Andrew, you know, that he's always following after whoever, it kind of hit me a little bit. But then the redemption is that Christ is who he is. There's nobody else to find after that.
Hmm. Amen to that. Yeah.
I love seeing Andrew's zeal, you know, this kind of purity that, you know, and the accounts show that, you know, Peter, he was a married man. He had his mindset more on earthly things. You know, he was kind of a salty fisherman, but Andrew is more of a
idealistic
younger brother, exactly, kind of under the shadow of his brother, but seeing things in a different light. And it's really interesting to see that kind of batting back and forth between them in that dynamic. And finally to see the conversion at the end must have been amazing for you as well, Jeremy, because you played Simon Peter, that is.
Yeah. No, glory be to God. I got to say, like, it was tough. But in one sense, we did that in one take, I think. If I recall.
Just about, yeah.
Yeah.
That main intense exchange.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I just,
yeah.
I don't know, to me, like, that's the grace of God. You know, I just, it was powerful, and it's such a blessing to be able to, in that moment, just to try it out, right? What's it feel like to experience something like that? Now, obviously, we're just approximating, you know,
right.
None of us are trying to say we know what it was like or
sure.
anything of that nature, but, you know, we're humans, and on some human level, Simon did have to have a complete change of heart and change of mind when he confronted the Savior.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I hope and pray that we're faithful to that in our portrayals. It's certainly a blessing to do so. I'm awed, you guys, I want to say again and again, by your input into these episodes. I see you guys rise to the occasion again and again. And one of the things that happened today, Nick, you touched on it. Those moments where we were the crowd and John the Baptist is preaching and we were reacting positively and negatively and all that. You get kind of caught up in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoy that. I'd love to hear what was it like for you guys?
This was amazing.
Really?
Thank God.
Yeah.
I love whenever, you know, we have snippets or like small revelations of these examples, I always think about the title Journey with the Saints. It's like you're really journeying and taking part in their journey. So I don't know. I always go back to that Journey with the Saints.
Yeah,
title.
Yeah. Lorinda, you this is not your first time doing an episode with us. For our audience to know, Lorinda played Saint Cecilia.
You wrote the script.
And really, really incredible. What was it like today? What was your experience like?
What really amazes me is that the saints were just regular people, just like us, with a fallen nature, but Christ comes into their lives and he just radically transforms them. And, you know, just like you when you were Simon Peter and you're so impetuous and so fiery, and yet, you know, you end your life, you know, not you, but Simon Peter, giving his life and, you know, that meekness and humility. So that transformation, you know, that's only by divine intervention. And
yeah.
So that the fact that they can change that way gives me hope.
Amen. And I want to make a connection to, you know, something that Christ says elsewhere in the gospel, like you must become like a child to receive the kingdom of heaven. And in some ways, Andrew remained more like a child, like hopeful, in awe, like open to receive the wondrous things, right? And it was that which allowed him to receive Christ. And then in the way that we played out the scene also, it was hearkening back to childhood and that connection that we had to childhood, which helped affect the change of heart that Simon Peter had to, you know, come and see.
Mm-hmm.
Come and see the Messiah, the Christ.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Well, that's awesome. Love that.
I love the ending narration where it says that, you know, St. Andrew, his first catch as a fisher of man was his own brother, the
mm-hmm.
Apostle Peter. I love that.
Yeah.
And in fact, his Troparion says that. It says something in that you were the first called of the apostles and the brother to their leader.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. So
amazing.
The way it ends is very similar to the Troparion.
And the other thing that I wanted to riff on a little bit, it's interesting. So Simon could throw rocks. This is just something that you added, but I love how there's like there's symbolism that can be used and can be flipped. Even like Simon was able to throw the stones farther, right? But in the end, wasn't it the Apostle Andrew who went further afield in
his travels,
evangelism?
He went so far.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
He got the last word on that.
Yeah.
That's true.
That's great.
Yeah. He went to so many countries. I read the full account, at least a large account from one of the books. And man, I mean, you need both your hands and feet to count how many countries he visited.
Wow.
It's amazing.
Wow.
And that's what we hope to share in the second part of his life. Is this first part was basically the gospel account, but then after the resurrection, after they're sent out, that's what the second part is going to be, is their missionary, is his missionary journey to Greece, to Turkey, all the way to Asia Minor, and then finally to his crucifixion. So
stay tuned for that. That's exciting.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, I was gonna say, I mean, Saint Andrew, he's an amazing saint, and I remember I learned more about him almost a year ago when we were at Bible study and Father John was leading it, and he went over the life of Saint Andrew, and I didn't, you know, growing up as an evangelical, you don't hear what happens to the apostles, you know, after the book of Acts closes, you know. So yeah. I think Saint Andrew was the first saint I really got to know his story very well, especially what happened after, you know, what happened, what was recorded after in the book of Acts. So, you know, I can relate to Andrew and Peter because, you know, I'm close with my brothers, and we just have that relationship where we can be open to each other about anything. And especially too, for me being Orthodox now, like, I want to be able to share that, you know, with my family. And I know that Andrew exemplifies that enthusiasm to share Christ with others, you know. I mean, he did it to the point of death, you know, so. And I could see that too, you know, when you, Jeremy, and Joshua were having that exchange. I know we talk about, like, the script is so important for us to learn about the saints because, right, on paper, we don't really, like, understand, like, what's actually being depicted. And until you actually get people who rehearse these things and you have the emotion and there's a depth to it, like, I can feel, like as if I was talking with my brother, with close friends, like, no, you need to listen to me about what I found, about what I found about Christ, you know. So, and that desire for others to know Christ, you know. So, yeah, that was like a really beautiful scene. And yeah, I mean, you know, glory to God that, you know, he raises up people like St. Andrew to, you know, to spread the gospel. So,
amen. Our theology student. Oh, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, I think, first of all, I just want to say thank you for letting me be a part of this.
Thank you for being here.
Yeah, it was super fun just, like, seeing this all come together. And I know you guys have been doing this for a long time, and it's really cool just, like, all this work that you're doing. And I think for me, St. Andrew, he's my dad's patron saint. In my family, my dad's Orthodox and I'm Orthodox, and we're the only ones, like, my mom and my brother and my sister-in-law are still Protestant. And so my dad picked St. Andrew to be his patron saint because he felt like he was the first called out of our family.
That's really cool.
Yeah, and so that's
what,
like,
a providential event that you're here today on the recording.
I knew you had a connection to St. Andrew, and I was like, is it your dad or is it your Scottish? Because Scottish flag is St. Andrew's flag.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so St. Andrew is the patron saint of Scotland, for anyone who didn't know, and I'm part Scottish a little bit. And yeah, so that's from my dad's side. And so he was also like, and another reason for him picking St. Andrew was because he's the patron saint of Scotland. And if you look on the Scottish flag, there's St. Andrew's cross because he was crucified in the shape of an X. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so.
That's beautiful. That's just really awesome.
It's providential.
Yeah, it really is. It's a really fantastic.
We'll have to share that with your dad once we release this.
Yeah.
It's great.
I have one small thought. We were kind of talking about it earlier, but I love the juxtaposition between St. Andrew being so open and so ready to receive Christ and to receive the good news of the kingdom of heaven coming, and then his brother, who's like, you're crazy, you're a lunatic, listening to this madman, St. John the Baptist, and then, but, you know, in the end, they're both such crucial roles in the establishment of the church, and that, for me, that gives me hope. That's like, okay, even though there are times when I'm stubborn, there's still hope for me that, you know, God is working on, you know, as long as we're staying on the path, he's forming our hearts, which is a mysterious, process. But I love that. It's like they're from the same family. They grew up together, but they're still
so
very
different.
Yeah. God meets us where we are,
and
he calls us far, far from there.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, to kind of piggyback on what Theodore was talking about, we hear from our Lord directly or indirectly. And so through the Apostle Andrew, it was direct, and then it was indirect through the Apostle Peter through his brother. And so there's two different paths at time. We come to either a further understanding of our faith, or we live through an example, and each of us has a decision on what we hear. I know this kind of goes off the beaten path, but the Apostle Thomas, when he's like, unless I touch our Lord and I see his wounds, I'm not going to believe. And Christ very prophetically said, you know, blessed are they who not only hear the word of God, but who have faith who have not yet seen or come to experience Christ directly. And so I think this is a wonderful example of when somebody grabs you and says, hey, I heard something or I saw something and it changed my life, it changed my faith. Listen to those people. I think a small example is, I talk to George about this all the time, Metropolitan Neophytos of Corfu in Cyprus, when he was confessing to St. Iacopus of Evia, and St. Iacopus told him his whole life, and he was clairvoyant, the living saint. He went back to Athena and he told hundreds of people, I'm confessing to a saint, like there's a saint in this small little monastery in the island of Evia. He's like, of the hundreds of people I told, maybe four came. Mm-hmm. And now they're like, why didn't you, like, you know, grab me, throw me around? Like, and so it's very important when someone who knows you well and who loves you like a brother and says, no, you have to listen to me, to trust what they're saying. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I think that's why faith is so important.
Yeah. I mean, that really speaks to what faith is, right? Like, you're going back to the faith of a child, right? And just having that trust, not because we have so many walls, right, as adults. Yeah, in this world, we put up so many walls, and I'm not surprised. I hate to say it, I'm almost surprised that even four went. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's almost that sense, but would we be that we're one of those four? You know,
right.
That's a beautiful story.
And last thing too, I mean, they were martyred. Rationally, people say there was nothing for them to gain. It wasn't like financially or from a societal perspective.
Right.
They were gaining nothing, yet they gained everything,
right?
Because they were seeking a heavenly reward. So for us, I think it's, you know, there's a priority of this life in regards to what we work on and what we pursue, and people outside of the church may have no understanding and say, why are you essentially wasting your time? And it's of the utmost importance to recognize that, no, it's the most valuable thing we can utilize our time pursuing, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I think for people to even be open to that, they have to be open for their value system being completely thrown upside down, or rather, put right side back.
Yeah, right side up.
That's what that whole scene in the wilderness, you know, with St. John the Baptist kind of shows. But sorry, I'm working
well. Well, yeah, so it's like, if people are not willing to do that, under any circumstances, for anything, that's why four out of however many hundred went, right?
Yeah.
Because it's like, are you even open to that possibility? Are you even open to what that would mean?
Yeah.
Right? And we want to grasp onto the worldview that we have that makes us feel secure, that we've already placed our values in the right place. Otherwise, to just be turned upside down and everything just falling out of our pockets, right? Like, I think you have to be in a place where you're willing, or maybe you do have that close relationship where it's like you wouldn't dismiss somebody who you've known for so long and it's so clear to you that it means so much to them, right? That you at least have to go and see.
Yeah.
Right? And then it could grow from there.
Yeah, he who has ears to hear, let him hear.
Amen.
Yeah. In one sense, you know, Saint Peter, he had a mustard seed, a kernel, tiny kernel of faith, like, okay, maybe my brother Andrew isn't totally insane. At least humor him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that it was that one little kernel that turned him into the leader of the apostles. So,
yeah.
But it wouldn't have been without St. Andrew,
right?
His brother, the first called.
Amen.
So.
And we wouldn't be here right now, most likely, if it wasn't for St. Andrew and St. Peter. George, did you have any thoughts you want to share?
Oh, I'm off camera, but yeah, it's great to be here with you all.
Cameraman. Joseph, you want to say anything? Come a little closer if you're going to.
Alex.
Yeah.
Sasha.
I guess so, yeah. Sorry, I'm right in front of this camera.
Here, I'll take it.
No,
Sasha,
okay.
Do you want to say something?
It's not a very big thing either, but it's just, I'm always reminded how important I feel like it is that we're doing this and bringing these stories to life and bringing them off the page. Because it's so easy, especially if you were like born Orthodox or you've been Christian for a long time, to read the Bible and read the Gospels and just kind of take a lot of it for granted. And especially at the Gospels, I think, with the lives of saints, like, it's, we don't hear them quite as often, I feel like. And so it's really just important to, like you guys were saying earlier, to just really, really put ourselves in that place of where they were at in life. Like, for example, like, I never really considered that there was, like, any kind of maybe tension for any of the apostles to follow Christ. I kind of just was like, in my head, I thought, oh, they were just like, yeah, of course I'll follow you, you know? But it only makes sense that there'd be this pull and, you know, I mean, they're smart young men. They're not going to just kind of follow anyone, you know? And so they had to wrestle with that, in a sense, their own doubt, you know? And I think that's, it's really helpful to just remember that the saints were real people, you know? Like, they weren't just these perfect people that just did everything, you know, and were, like, kind of in on something that we can't be a part of, you know?
Right. That's so true.
Yeah, so they had to wrestle with their own doubts and also their own preconceptions of who the Messiah was going to be, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of the... those who did not follow Christ, it's because they were expecting more of a worldly deliverance rather than being freed from the bondage to sin, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so many didn't recognize them because of that preconceived notion of who the Messiah would be, even though they were awaiting the Messiah,
mm-hmm.
right? So it's like, even when we ask for something from God, He may deliver it. He may deliver it in a different way than we're expecting,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Too true.
Well, I think in summary, to add on to that, you know, we plant the seed, we water it, and it's God who provides the increase. And that increase is how He ordains it. So very important to keep that in mind.
Yeah, love that. Unless there's someone who's burning to say something before we close out, anyone at all?
I think I just wanted to add one more thing.
Please.
I think one thing that stuck out to me at the end of the script was the phrase "come and see," because I didn't know that was in there, and then when I heard it, I was like, oh, like, I'm glad that's there, because that's very Orthodox, and it's very, like, it shows that it's not just knowledge, it's not just learning something, it's like an experience, and it's like meeting Christ, and then through that there's a transformation that comes afterwards. So I think it goes back to, like, what you were saying about we have to be ready, in a sense, because, like, God does everything that... God will meet us wherever we are. It's just, like, we have to be open to Him. And so, yeah. It just, like, I was really glad that was there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, that's beautiful. That's a great way to end this. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Again, this has been Thinking Like the Saints, where we're discussing the life, the last episode on St. Andrew the First Called. If you're at all interested... look up an Orthodox church in your area. Come and see. The Lord is good. Come and experience the faith as it's been practiced for 2,000 years. Nick, I'll leave it to you. Close us out.
Thank you all for joining, and thank you all for listening. I don't have much to say other than thank you for joining us.
Awesome.
You
guys, thanks very much. Joe, were you going to say something? Okay, here we go. We're recording.
Wait. Can I grab these nachos before we record?
Oh, yeah. All right, go for it.